I'd like to look in the book of Isaiah, I believe the 61st chapter this morning. The 61st chapter and the first verse. Says this, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. They shall build the old waste, and shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourselves." How wonderful this gospel message is, even today, in 2011, and how new and refreshing it is today. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Lord has anointed me to preach glad good tidings unto the meek, and sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." How wonderful today is the gospel message, and it's still very fitting and it's necessary for our day and age. And I, this morning, am grateful for many times the Lord has comforted me and bound up my broken heart. He has released us from the captivity of sin and opened up the prison house. And I'm so thankful today to know the Lord. The real question that I have this morning in my heart is, who will serve the Lord in just the simple everyday details of life? How many of us today will wait till we get in a real bind before we seek the Lord? How many of us wait sometimes till there's tragedy and then we find the Lord? We wait till there's some emergency and then we seek the Lord. Whenever there's some pressure put on us possibly and we're under a strain, then we seek the Lord. But you know, I'm really wondering today, how many of us really love Him just because He's our friend and because He's our Savior, and He's not someone that we just always run to in emergencies, but someone we look to in everyday details of life? I'm thinking this morning that God is looking and interested in people that'll just live for Him in spite of everything. And it doesn't have to be an emergency. It doesn't have to be something, trauma, that we finally seek the Lord. But it's out of a heart that we just want to love Him because of who He is. Because He is God. And there's no one like Him. I was thinking this morning about Enoch. And Enoch, it said, he walked with God and God took him. Enoch was just an exceptional person in his generation, and he just walked with the Lord. I want to tell you this morning, the Lord is looking for some exceptional people today, people that don't have to have trauma, don't have to have emergencies and things that cause them to seek the Lord, but just out of a natural overflowing, just a love for God, we just seek Him, not wanting anything special, but just a relationship with Him. Just a relationship. Lord, I just want to know You. I just want to know more about You. I want to know You as somebody just real personal, somebody close. I want to know You that way. I don't have to wait till there's some phone call and announces something difficult in my life has happened. Then I'll seek God. Then I'll find Him. And then He'll be real close to me. I want to find Him before the phone rings. I want to know Him. I want to know the power of His resurrection before there's trouble and before there's upheavals and before there's all these things happen. I want to know Him then. I want to tell you this morning, our world is jumping from high event to high event. And if God is somewhere out there, you know, and we'll take Him in this point and we'll drop Him when it just comes to everyday living. Then we'll pick Him up again over here and we'll drop Him and pick Him up. And I think, Lord, it probably feels bad. People just think I'm around for an emergency. I'm just here for emergency. That's all people seek me for is emergencies. It's when I get cancer and it's when I get down in my health and then I'll seek Him. But, you know, the Lord wants us this morning to pick Him up in the low points of our life and pick Him up when things are going well too. Lord, I just want You to know I want to partner up with You. I want You to know I love You and I realize You understand what tomorrow's all about. And I want to seek You today, Lord, and let You lead my life and guide me. And I know You'll have the best for me. If we really believe this morning that God is who He is, then we'll not have any trouble resting in Him, leaning on Him, and letting Him provide for us for the future. God wants to take care of us this morning, folks, and He wants to do it in more than just an up and down way. He wants to be our friend. He wants to be real close to us and help us through the difficult places of life. And He wants to be there in our joys and happiness. Have you ever just said, Lord, I'm so thankful for this day. I'm so thankful to have You in my life and You've been so good to me today. I'm amazed at all the things that God has shown us and helped us in. It's been so good. The Lord He's our healer, our helper in all of our needs. He said, the Lord has appointed me or anointed me to preach glad tidings, good tidings unto the meek, and sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. I believe today that the good Lord wants to help us all to become His friend and serve Him and live for Him in this life. Let's look in the book of Philemon and in the book of Titus, the third chapter. And I want to look a little bit about what we used to be. The book of Titus, the third chapter, and the fourth verse, the third verse, and I'll read the fourth verse. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Well, here's a good picture of what I was. Foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's a picture of who I was. I don't know if you can see yourself in there or not, but that was me. But then He said here, after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. This morning, it ought to be enough to melt our hearts, to think about, even though I was brought up in a good family and had good parents, I was still, by nature, part of the children of wrath. That was me. I was still a part of something that was controlling me. There was some evil there that I couldn't overcome. I couldn't get away from it. And that was me. It had me bound. But after the kindness of God and His mercy appeared to us. He said here, according to His mercy, He saved us. Washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you this morning that I believe God is interested in us living and serving Him. I believe He's interested in us doing that. I believe He wants us to do it before we reach some of those tragic areas in our life. That a lot of us are going to go experience some things. There's going to be some difficult problems come. I hope that we can find God before those big events happen. I hope that we can say, Lord, I really am interested in serving You today because of who You are. And I'm not going to wait till something happens and I realize I've lost my health, I've lost my family, I've lost what was valuable to me, and now I want to find God. I know He deals and He works some way, sometimes in that way, but this morning, my thoughts are a little bit different. I'm thinking, why not live for God when we still have our family, while we still have our health, while we still have things going for us? Why not serve and live for Him when everything is going good and prove our love to Him? When we're young, the scripture in Lamentations says it's good that a man bear the yoke in his youth. It's good while we're young to learn those things. It's good that we do that. We wait sometimes till we get to the end and we realize we've wasted and put this off and that off, and then we seek after God. And I know He comes in the 11th hour. He comes in the 11th hour and the 59th minute sometimes. But there's times that also that we should take advantage. And that's my little burden this morning. Whenever you're young and whenever you're starting off in life, give God, give Him the basket and let Him fill it for you. I've seen so many things that we go through life and we wait till we get older and we start filling our basket with this and we fill this and we carry that and it's so heavy. And the Lord looks at us sometimes, why have you been carrying that around? Why did you pick that up in life? I didn't design that for you. That wasn't something I designed. And you're carrying that basket full of all those heavy things. And I didn't design that for you. I say this morning when we're young, if we can let Him have charge of our life, say, Lord, I'm going to take and empty the basket of everything, my desires and my ambitions, and I want You to just fill that for me. I believe the Lord will come by, and He said, the book of Psalms, He said, for the Lord God is a sun and shield, for the Lord will give grace and glory. Not one good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Thank God for that this morning. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. This morning, when we keep the basket empty in our youth and let the Lord fill that, He's going to give us everything that pertains to life and godliness. And here in the book of Peter, I believe I'll read that scripture. Book of Peter. The second chapter, or 2 Peter, the first chapter, I'm sorry, 2 Peter, the first chapter. In the third verse, it says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Lust does not satisfy. It is something that keeps you wanting more and more of something that will never satisfy. It's just something that It'll never satisfy. You'll want more, and you go after a little bit of this, and all of a sudden you get there and find out, that really didn't satisfy. I have to do more. I have to more and more. And it just leads you down a road. Folks, this morning, one of the dangers of drifting away from God is you're going into a zone that never satisfies. There's the temptation, oh, this is so rewarding. And the devil takes you off down that path for a while, and you see, well, maybe I need to go just a little step further, and if I do that, I'll be happy truly, and I can stop, and I'll be there. It's not that way. Lust is something never satisfied. It goes on the next stage, and there's something out there, then over, and there's something further, a little further, and pretty soon you find yourself, you're in a addiction. You're into something that just does not satisfy. That's why it's so, we have to be careful of pornography. It's something that leads people astray. It leads you down a wrong road, and it just causes you to want more and more, and it's never satisfying. Never does satisfy. The corruption that's in the world is something that is so misleading. It's something that is deceptive. You get to a certain place and you think, I'll stop there and I'll be fulfilled. But it's not that way. It's on and on and on, and just degrading in all kinds of things. It doesn't stop. I tell you this morning, we don't have to go out to all those limits to find God. We don't have to go out to all those extremes. And finally, once I get out there, then I'll know how wonderful it was to be saved. That is a trick of the devil. He'll tell you how wonderful that is. But when you do get out there and you have all those scars on you, that you'll never get over some of those things. They'll be there for permanently. The Lord can save you, and He has pulled many a person out of the fire. But I'm going to tell you, there's some old ugly scars that stays around. We need to be careful of, folks. Be careful. Keep your life. Keep yourself pure. Be careful what you look at. Be careful in what you do. The devil is mean this morning. He'd love to come into good church families, good homes, and he'd love to just divide, and he'd love to cause trouble and havoc, and he'd love to separate children. He'd love to separate home. I know this is his workings. This morning I'm talking about a love for God, not because I'm out and I'm in trouble that I seek him, but I'm talking about loving him before I get into trouble. Loving him before I go out and I'm tempted to go out and do things. Loving him today supremely. I don't know how many times people in jail, pray for me. I want to get a hold of God. I want to do right. I just want to do right. I really do. And one jailer was telling us one time, he was asking this man that he's a regular there in the Creek County. They said, do you want to get rid of this habit? He said, there's nothing more I'd like to do than to get rid of this. He's shaking his head. There's nothing more I'd like to do than get rid of this. He's saying, no, I want to keep it. His body language is giving something away. There's some secret love or something for those the alcohol and the drugs and things. There's nothing more I'd like to do than to get rid of it. Folks, this morning, let's love God. Not wait till we get in tragedies. Then we're going to find Him. Too often there's these voices that people have, and they hear, oh, God spoke to me and said this, and God that. I've heard that so many times. It's so confusing. This morning, let's seek God when the storm is not around us. Let's seek Him when things just look like are going pretty well for us. And I've got a good family and an income, and I've got things going for me. Seek God then. Because you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And we don't know when things do happen. I don't know how many times I've heard. Men would say, I had no idea there was something going on. I came home, my wife is gone. And a wife come home and her husband's gone. I don't know what. I tell you what we need to do. It's time to really seek the Lord. In the time of adversity, in the time of prosperity, we need to seek the Lord before we get to the extremes. This morning, I know there was an individual wanted to come to church. All of a sudden, their life is all blown up now. It's gone. I want to come and I want to seek God today. But what about last week? You know, it was okay to be drinking and carrying on last week. That had been a time, if we'd have dropped that and started seeking God today, we'd have had a whole different aspect. It wouldn't have been looking at so many years behind bars if we'd only last week sought Him. Folks, this morning, why don't we seek God in the calm? Seek Him when things are going well and when we have a little bit of, we feel just a little bit of an edge, you might say, or we have just a, we're feeling kind of flush and feeling pretty good. Why not seek Him in those good times? We're feeling good. Let's seek Him when we're feeling good. Because He's not just always the God that we find down in the dark places of life. He's to be found out here when things are going well for us. Give Him the first fruits of your life. Let Him have the choices. He wants to be real to us. He said here in the book of Peter that He has given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. This morning, do we really sense how wonderful it is to be free, to have escaped? We're escapees this morning if we've escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. We're running for our lives. We're running for our lives. Let's not stop. Let's not get weary in well-doing and, you know, thinking I've lived my life in vain. One place the psalmist said, I've washed my hands and I've done all these things. And he said, the wicked, they just go on. Their eyes bulge out with fatness. They have all that hearts could desire. They just have everything. He said, verily, I've cleansed my hands in vain. But then he went to the house of the Lord and he understood their end. And he said, thou dost set them in slippery places. This morning, there's no security but in God, folks. And I want to tell you today, be careful. In the calm of your life, be careful. The calm of my life, I'm going to do the same. Whenever it's calm and there's not a lot of turbulence around, be careful. David, in the absence of conflict, got himself in some of the worst troubles that you could imagine. In some of those worst places that looked like there was all... He should have been out on the field with helping with the battle, but he was at home and in the absence of conflict got in lots of trouble. I don't know what's going on in your life today, but I tell you one thing, the absence of conflict causes us to get a little bit negligent. And seeking God in the absence of conflict is a good thing to do. Lord, I just want to, in the calmness that I'm feeling today in my soul, in the calmness that right now, I don't really have any tragedies looming. I don't see anything on the horizon. My horizons look fairly calm and they look fairly peaceful. What would be wrong with saying, Lord, in these times that we're in, that I'm in today, in this calm, I want to thank You for it, but I want You to know that I love You and I want to get closer to You than ever before. I don't want to let this time of calm be a something that causes me to become lax in my love for You. Something that causes me to be a little bit negligent and careless. I was reading a little book and it said, next time you're in church, look around and see how many people seem uninterested. Look at their expressions. And I'm not looking at anybody right now, but I'm just saying, just look around and see how many appear. And the young people do this real often. They look around, they see us, and they catch on real quick who's interested and who is attentive and who cares less. There's an attitude, just look, I could care less, I'm even here. And you know, the Lord, He notices that, but other people and young people, and they pick up on our body language. They pick up on our perception, just our look of brightness. Or are we sitting there, you know, closing everything out and just concentrating maybe on one hurt that I have? Instead of opening up to the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to heal my hurts. I want you to help me to be attentive. If there's something that you've spoken to me, I want to be able to pick that up, Lord, and take something in my life. I say to seek Him in the calm today. If your horizons do look peaceful and looks like your next few months is going to be fairly unruffled, we don't know how quick storms come up, do we? Oklahoma tells us to always be on guard. You lived around here very long, you know, in Oklahoma, you just don't... Oh, you might be basking today in that 50, 60 degree weather, and by the evening time it'd be 19 degrees and rain, ice. It tells us here to be on guard. Oklahoma's got a way of causing people to be... the weather teaches you to be on guard. Carry a little extra coat in your car or something, because we never know what can happen. It's the same way spiritually. And this morning you may have a secure feeling. I've been very careful in my life, and I've been able to escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. I've been able to use some of my temperance that I was born with to escape some of the corruption that's in the world. But I want you to know something. We haven't seen the end of this yet. The end of the Christian race is not here. And folks, we need to be extra careful. I want to try to be in my life. Watch out for all kinds of things. We've got to watch out for hurts. We've got to watch out. Personal hurts sometimes happen unexpectedly. We didn't look for them, didn't ask for them, but they happen. Be careful, because they can catch us off guard. And if we don't have a fervency up here, a love for God, those hurts can send a chill over our spiritual life that can numb us. It can numb us. Oh, I never thought that would get me. I never thought that would hit me that way. I tell you this morning, there are some things we really have to be careful for. Watch out for. Watch out for. Having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust is a day-by-day struggle. We're not going to say, I've graduated and nothing bothers me anymore. Nothing bothers me anymore. What we're saying is we haven't experienced that in a while. And that was something we had in our past, but it hasn't bothered me. Beware, because the enemy of our soul is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's no respecter of persons. And if he can get your love to wax a little bit cold while iniquity is abounding, he's got you in a place where in that vacuum he can do some of the biggest hurts to us. I want to encourage all of us today. He said this, beside giving diligence, giving all diligence, what are we supposed to do? He said here, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. What a list that goes around, and all these are interwoven with each other. They're tied together. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. We need to be a well-balanced people in all we do. May the Lord bless us this morning. He said in this that godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall be neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I would think this morning, with the power of the gospel, that it would be something that would be able to teach us things. It would still be alive to instruct us and to help us in life. The ninth verse says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. I want to encourage us today to seek the Lord in the calm. I want to encourage us today to put God first in life because He wants to bless us more abundantly than ever before. I want us also, putting myself in here too, the Lord would help us to be careful with diligence. With diligence, we would follow the Lord and seek Him and not forget that we were this kind of person at one time. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, we would still be that person. I want to encourage young people today, whatever the horizons are shaping up to be in your future, you'd put the Lord first and seek Him. He's got the best for you. He'll work the best for you. He'll provide for the best in every situation. I know that He'll do that. He's done it for us many times. And He said here in this last verse, Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence that you may make your calling, to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. I would like to leave these things with us today. Encourage you to seek the Lord. If you're in a period of calm or you're in a period of turbulence, it's a good time to seek the Lord. I would rather think that we could be able to pick up a few pieces in the calm better than we could in the storm. And that's the point I'm keep driving at today is, Lord, help us to seek Him when there's less turbulence and disruptions and things around us. Because those are the times where we have a little bit of our mind left and we can think clearly. God wants to help us to be able to do that today. I trust the Lord will take care of us all and help us today. Seek Him in the calmness of your life. Amen.